Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing well in Jesus, bro.
Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I am blessed in the Lord.
Well, I'm excited for a number of reasons. If you're listening to this on a Monday right now, just this last Thursday, we aired our 200th episode. I mean, we literally have not taken a week off, not one, the entire time since we started airing these shows for you guys. And I have been encouraged. I know Joe shared and we've shared how a couple weeks ago we were in the top 32 in the country for faith and spirituality. That's tens of thousands of podcast shows. We were in number 44 globally in faith and spirituality, and we were even in the top 200 in culture and events and news. That includes your CNNs and Fox Newses and those things. So to have us up there, it's because you guys are listening and you're saying, hey, I'm not hiding this under a bushel. I'm being blessed. I'm being edified. I'm going to send it out to other people. And you're blessing other people that way. And I know that I have been radically blessed through this. I know I've learned a ton, and it's really made me dedicate a lot of time every single week when I'm putting together, you know, the ideas that I send to Tony and Joe every week. I'm putting together a ton of episodes and saying, guys, I usually put together about 10, and then I say, okay, these ones are the ones that I'm seeing online a lot, that people are talking about. And then Joe will say, hey, this one's on my heart, and we'll switch it all around. And a lot of times that's what you guys get. And it's something that we're pouring our hearts into, and we're getting to see the fruit from it. A lot of you guys are saying a lot of awesome things. And that's what I'm actually going to start this episode off with, because I was looking through the comments on our 200th episode, and one of the guys on there, I was just reading, and it was just absolutely a lot of the reason that we do this, a lot of the reasons that we have been involved in ministry. And specifically, this is an ex-Muslim, and he'll mention that in his comment. And if you're listening to this on Monday, just the last Saturday, that was the end of Ramadan. You know, they have to pay homage for an entire month. They fast, Muslims do, for an entire month. And it's actually part of the five pillars of Islam. You must do this fast if you are to hope one day be in paradise, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Not typically 30 days straight, though.
Yeah.
They get to kind of munch out at night.
Yeah, they do get to munch. Actually, it actually is well known that they actually eat more calories during Ramadan than not. So they really actually engorge themselves and do a public fast so that everyone
can
know.
I'm sorry, I had to point that out. I'm sorry.
That everyone can know, you know, precisely the way that Jesus said not to fast.
Yeah.
Precisely the way he said not to fast, like the hypocrites do. But nonetheless, it is part of their five, the pillars of Islam, and it's something that they have to do. And so we were talking about that, and I know we've done a couple of shows on Islam, and I said, hey, let's wrap this thing up, and let's really talk a lot about the hope that Christ provides versus the hope that Muhammad provided. And before I get into exactly that, I wanted to read this comment, because if you go to our recent episode titled COVID-19 Pope Francis Ushering in the One World Religion, you will see this comment on there by Zig Zag Zai, I believe it says. And he stated, Chad, if you don't know already, you should listen to David Wood and Christian Prince, both Christian apologists on YouTube, for greater insights and materials proving the fallacies of Islam. You'll find them very informative and quite entertaining. Thank you, Tony, Pastor Joe, and everyone at Good Fight Ministries for all of your amazing work that has provided me, and I'm sure countless others, with clear direction as I seek to follow the path that leads to the narrow gate into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I am an ex-Muslim, and having been deceived and lied to by Islam for the first 50 years of my life, I am now very vigilant about who I trust. God bless and protect you all at Good Fight Ministries for your faithful commitment to the scriptures and for helping the body of Christ to be more discerning so that we can be wise as serpents but innocent as doves as we venture out amongst the ravenous wolves in this fallen and sin celebrating world. You know, and I told him, you know, I happen to, and I know Tony does as well.
Powerful admonition, good words.
Yeah, amen. And I told him, yeah, I do, in fact, like listening to David Wood. In fact, we'll have David Wood sometimes on the Good Fight Radio Network because he's done interviews that'll be on there. And if anyone knows a contact there, let him know. We're trying to get some of his teachings on there as well. So just one of those things. But we actually also have Jay Smith, who is an excellent apologist when it comes to Islam. And he's on the Good Fight Radio Network. And I told him that, and Nabil Qureshi is another guy that I've studied from and been blessed by. And
Jay's a street evangelist, so he's close to our hearts in that way, too.
Yeah, amen. And as Zigzag said, yeah, thank you. That's awesome. Keep shining your light. I truly thank God for the likes of you, David Wood, and other faith-filled and brave crusaders of truth who courageously risk their lives, literally, in order to point millions of souls to Christ and help save them from darkness and death. Thanks again for all you do and for the many unspoken sacrifices I'm sure you've had to make in order to serve. He's well-spoken, and we are really blessed by your comment. I literally was sending that to a couple of the young guys in a Bible study that I'm in because we've been studying Islam now for 2 months, and in all honesty, it's a passion of mine. I love sharing the gospel with those who are under that deception, and I love sharing the gospel with everyone, but I love the fact that typically with Muslims, they'll actually come back and have a little debate back and forth, you know, with a lot of other religions and worldviews. They kind of typically go running, so to speak. So it is really a blessing. So I wanted to say that. And with all that, a nice long intro, but it is on topic. It is on point. And the fact is that this man has found the hope that is in Jesus. And we want to talk about that in light of the hope that is offered, the paradise that is offered in Islam. And what kind of hope, Joe, does Islam offer its followers?
Well, when you have the head of your religion, the paragon of Muslim virtue, Muhammad himself, who is the standard, concerned whether or not he is even going to heaven with a lack of assurance. I mean, in the Quran itself, in Surah, and Chad and I were comparing some notes that we both were on our hearts, you know, and we had some of the same quotes. And if you're going to talk about this subject, this is the gold standard as far as showing where he was at as far as his own lack of assurance of salvation. Surah 46:9 in the Quran, Muhammad says, "I am not different from the other messengers." And this is what Allah tells him to tell the pagans about how he's no different than them, because he says, "And I do not know what will be done with me." He doesn't know whether he's going to heaven or hell, or with you. "I only follow what is inspired in me, and I am only a clear warner." So according to him, according to Muhammad himself, now, think about this. You're trying to keep the five pillars of the faith, you know? Mm-hmm. You're praying toward Mecca five times a day, you know? You're going through all this, and guess what? Muslims that are honest, they know they may not call it a sinful nature, but like everybody else, their hearts, Jesus said their hearts are deceitful and sinful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know what the scriptures say? I'm conflating a couple different passages, Jeremiah and Jesus, out of the heart comes wicked thoughts and so forth. So a Muslim that's honest with who he is knows that he's depraved. And then he's praying five times a day. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He's not born again. He hasn't become a new creation. Doesn't have a new heart yet. So then he's looking at Muhammad, who's struggling, saying, "Hey, I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm like you guys, you know." That right there is not the hope that we have in Jesus. The hope we have in Jesus is we have hope because it's not based on our works. It's a free gift. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." It's based on salvation by grace through faith. We're saved, Paul said, by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So really, there are two totally different systems of salvation. Christianity differs pretty much from every other religion in the world. Every other religion is, how do I climb up to God and earn his favor and find acceptance? Or how do I become immersed in the universal consciousness or unconsciousness or what have you? Christianity is God condescending to us, to those of the lower estate, those who couldn't save themselves, and becoming a man and dying on the cross and paying for our sins so we could be saved. We have hope in Christ and we have assurance in Christ. Yeah. You know, Jesus says, you know, nobody could snatch us out of his hand or the Father's hand. Father's greater than all. policy neither height nor depth nor principality or power or any other created thing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So long as we are trusting Jesus and we meet the condition of grace through faith and we're trusting him, we have assurance. And sadly, it's heartbreaking. But you know what? I don't want Muslims to have assurance until they have the true gospel.
Amen.
Then we want them to have assurance. Let's be thankful that they can't know that they're saved. And that's why so many Muslims end up coming to Jesus.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is because this episode, precisely what we want this to be for you believers that are listening, this is a great tool that you can put into your handbag when it comes to, hey, I don't know what to say, but I want to share with this Muslim. I want to share my faith with them. Maybe you have a coworker or you just want to go on the streets. You see someone in garb and you say, hey, I want to go up and talk Amen. To them. Guys, ask them. Do they know where they're going if they die? Do they know? And use their terminology. Use the word. I know they use the word heavens, but typically a lot of times when you read the Quran, you see the word paradise.
Paradise, yeah.
Paradise over and over again. And guys, use that terminology and ask, do you know without a doubt if you'll go into paradise? Because then it puts them in a quandary. If they say yes, you say you have more assurance than Muhammad.
Yep.
And just Amen. Remember, Surah 46:9. Just write it down. Mm-hmm. Put it in your notes on your phone. You could look at it before you go talk to him. Guys, it's stuff that I do. That's the only reason I'm putting it out there, because I've done these exact things. And ask them, can you have full assurance? And when they give you the true answer, which is, no, I can't know that, then you say, oh, that's interesting. So you are not Muhammad. The Quran did not come through you. When somebody says the Shahada, which is basically the words that you are supposed to say, and you have to say them in Arabic, and it is that Allah is the one true God, there's only one, and that Muhammad is his prophet. In the Shahada, the very words that many Muslims believe is one of the five pillars, and you have to say to get into paradise, the man mentioned in that verse did not even have assurance that he would get in. How can you have assurance?
That's right.
And that is where, again, where do you get assurance? You get it from the words of Jesus Christ. You get it from places like John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, who listens and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. These are promises.
Amen.
For us, from the mouth of Jesus, the God-man, to us. And it's things that we are allowed to share with our Muslim friends, and we can hopefully eventually make them Christian brothers.
Yeah, amen. And to bolster your point right there, Sunni Muslim scholar, and they're like the predominant, they're the hugest group by far, right?
Yeah.
Yasir Qadi, he said, quote, no Muslim can say, I'm going to heaven. Mm. It's arrogance to say, I'm going to enter heaven. And I'm certain about it. And Abu Bakr, interesting, he says something quite interesting.
Yeah, he's like the first caliph, Abu Bakr, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the rightly minded caliphs, you know. Yeah. And he's Muhammad's what? You know what he is? He's his father-in-law.
He's his father-in-law,
right?
Yeah.
That's right. He said that even if he has one foot in heaven, he still wouldn't know if Allah would reject him. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
But that goes right in line with what Muslims believe. And it's so heartbreaking. But like you said, it's heartbreaking for them when we're looking at it from a humanistic standpoint. From a spiritual standpoint, I'm like, wait a second. This is a great time where we compare the religions. This is a great time where we compare truth from falsity. This is a great time where we can compare some awesome things. And I've been writing a track, and I told the guys, Lord willing, if I finish this week, I was going to read it out for Bible study on Monday, and it's called The Prodigal Muslim, comparing the prodigal son. And when you look at that story, it's absolutely beautiful. And if you know anything about Islamic culture, typically, like your quote, I could quote Surah 46:9. They may not know that exact verse, but they'll know the understanding because they listen and understand and learn in story form. So what I've done in the track is basically told the story of the prodigal son without putting names or anything, and then pointed out the fact that very similar his mindset to the mindset of somebody in Islam. Because in Islam, you can't be a child of God. The best you can ever get to is to be a servant. And we do not have a God that kept us at arm's distance.
Even Jesus isn't the son of God. He's not even a child of God.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, he's just a Razul, a prophet.
Yeah.
And that they have this arm's distance where God, you can never actually have a relationship. In their religion, they can never have a real relationship. In fact, the way that God answers prayers is not like normally he would answer for us where we're beseeching him on something. The only way that they believe God interacts with them whatsoever is through dreams, which is why we pray for Muslims to have dreams, have dreams from the one true God and not demons.
And many have.
And many have. And many have come to faith. And I praise God for that. And I pray for that all the time whenever, because God does not leave himself without a witness.
Amen.
And if somebody is desiring to do the will of the Father, they will know Jesus. They will know whether his doctrines are from God. And so that is my heart's desire. And I'm praying right now, especially during the middle of Ramadan, that Muslims would come to where the true hope is, and that's in Jesus.
Mm. Absolutely. That should be all of our prayers. These are people for whom Christ died.
Amen.
And it's interesting, too, because when you think about it, there's only one class of Muslims that I can actually have an assurance of salvation. And the saddest thing is we know it's not salvation. And that's those who practice shaheed. And that's the Muslims who kill themselves and blow themselves up in little bits and pieces in suicide bombings. They kill a bunch of other people. If they take a bunch of people out in the name of jihad, you know, they automatically get a ticket to 72 virgins. So, how twisted is that? And they're incentivized because they're told, hey, you get these 72 virgins. A German scholar says that word originally in Arabic meant
raisins,
you know? Yeah. So, because it was a kind of a garden kind of thing, so. You know, but it's not even 72 raisins, biblically speaking. I mean, it's hell, and it's sad because now they're incentivized because they're told that they get these virgins that are chained to walls, who are naked, that are waiting for them. What kind of morality is that, by the way?
Oh, no, man.
And then also you have this idea that they don't have a funeral for them when they die. They have a wedding celebration for them, which I think is remarkable. And one thing, many of them do. And one thing that's interesting, too, is a lot of parents, you think, wait a minute, do I really want my, you know, 8-year-old boy strapped down with these bombs. But guess what? They're incentivized too, because these Muslims don't have assurance of salvation. So they're taught that, you know, 70 of their relatives will also get admittance into paradise. So it's real, very, very diabolically written. And we're saying these things. And if you're a Muslim listening, you're commanded in the Quran to listen to us, because the Quran says that you're supposed to talk to the people that are the people of the book. And guess what? That's us Christians. We're the people of the book that came over half a millennium before Islam, or I should say Jesus came over half a millennium before, you know, Muhammad was born, and the canon of scripture was finished about that time, just a little bit later. So as Christians, we're the people of the book, and you have to follow the book, people of the book, or I should sorry say, you have to follow the book, because contrary to some or many Muslim scholars, according to the Quran itself, it's an incorruptible book. Yep. God's revelation can't be corrupted.
Yep.
It's preserved. So what does the Quran teach? It teaches totally a system of salvation that's diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Surah chapter 23, verses 102 through 104, it says, then those whose balance, because what happens in Islam, your good works and your bad works are put on scales. There's a huge pan on both sides, and your good works are put in one pan, and your bad works are put in the other pan. And if your good works outweigh the bad works, you get into paradise. If your bad works outweigh your good works, you go to hell. In fact, it says, then those whose balance of the good deeds is heavy, they will attain salvation. But those whose balance is light will be those who have lost their souls in hell. And there they will abide. The fire will burn their faces, and they will therein grin, and their lips displaced. I mean, this is horrific. So this is teaching salvation by means of works. However, listen to what the Bible says. It says you can't be justified by your works. Romans 3:9. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being, that means Muhammad, that means everyone, no human being will be justified in his sight. Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, so that we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. In other words, we're guilty because of our sin. Our mouths will be shut before God on the day of judgment based on our own righteousness. All of our righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags before God. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. We can only be justified. We can only be declared righteous through faith in Christ. Why? Because he paid for our sins. You can't depend on a relative paying for your sins by blowing himself up and killing a bunch of people. He doesn't have any righteousness to give you. God became a man. And God is perfect. Jesus says, who convicts me of sin? The scriptures say he is the righteous one. He is the holy one. He was without sin. And the scriptures say the unjust it says the just died for the unjust. He gave his lives for us so we can be justified and forgiven our sins. He paid for our sins. If you're Muslim, we love you. We praise God that you're hearing if you're listening. And we're not trying to come down on all these different people. We're trying to speak truth. We follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And his disciples have been by the millions. And by the way, they were martyred, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of, and some estimate millions and millions of Christians have been martyred, not by blowing themselves up and killing other people, but attacked by those who hated the message of the gospel. Why would you hate this beautiful message wherein you are invited by God the Creator through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God becoming a man and dying for you so you could come into the heavenly kingdom? Why would you hate that message? But it could only be because you think somehow I'm going to do it in my own righteousness, and you're going to follow a Johnny Come Lately false prophet that came hundreds of years after Jesus Christ, whom Jesus warned about and said there would be false prophets. And Paul said that they would deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And Paul said, and the New Testament prophet says they would be antichrist, deny the Father and the Son. 1 John chapter 2, Islam denies the Father and Son relationship. It denies that Jesus is the Son of God. It denies that Jesus died on the cross. These are all the clear messages in the book. And hey, I'm just giving the answer because according to the Quran, according to Muhammad, you're supposed to ask us, the people of the book, about your religion. And we're saying, hey, guess what? We love you. Turn from that Johnny Come Lately religion several years after Christianity and turn to the true Jesus Christ of Christianity so you can be justified, so you can be right with God, so you can be saved, so we can embrace you in the heavenly kingdom forevermore.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's really interesting because you brought up the fact that there's only one way of assurance for the Muslim, and that is to die in an act of war for Islam. And I remember distinctly when the Pulse nightclub shooting, if you guys remember, that took place in Florida at the gay club, and where this Muslim man went and was very clear on the radio to the police officers, I'm doing this for Allah, I'm doing this for Allah. But then afterwards it came out that he was attending there before. So people were saying, well, he wasn't a real Muslim, he was gay, so he couldn't have been a real Muslim if he was gay. But here's the thing. If you were practicing wickedness and thought that your scales of good works,
that's right,
and bad works, and you said, wait a second, I got no chance, I've been doing exactly what Allah said I could not do, then guess what? If you found a quick ticket, you're going to take it. And that's where a lot of times the people who do commit those
acts,
no
doubt about it, they're living heinous lives.
Heinous, wicked, disgusting lives. And that's what's going on. And it's the exact opposite, interestingly enough, with Christianity. When someone says, hey, there's no way that that person could have murdered those people because they're Christian, there's a reason for that, because the Bible's really clear, 1 John 3:15, no murderer has eternal life in them. So if a Christian, quote unquote, tells you that they're murdering people in the name of Christ, they're a liar. The truth is not in them. They don't meet the requirements of the litmus test. They've failed. Now, with a Muslim, that is not the case at all, because they have in the Quran the law of abrogation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because you read earlier from Surah 46. Now, the Quran is not written in chronological order. The Quran after chapter 1, which is the prayer that most Muslims say 5 times a day, after chapter 1, it is basically in order of size. Not precisely, but pretty much in order of size. And the text that you read from was from the Meccan period, where he was trying to develop and have followers. So he told a lot of stories because they had pagans and Jews there, and he would tell all these stories. And a lot of times he got them wrong. For example, he thought that Jesus' mother, Miriam, is also Moses' sister.
Moses' sister got the Miriams mixed up.
So, I mean, this is
that's in the Quran, folks.
That's in 100%.
A lot of things are. They're like the Tower of Babel in the days of Noah. And
Joseph kind of and Jonah as well. You see some crazy things of Solomon talking to ants, talking to birds, which he sends over to the Queen of Sheba to also talk to birds. This is Quranic material, by the way. I'm not even having to go to the Hadiths, which are also authoritative.
A lot of stuff's taken right out of the apocryphal books as well.
And, oh, without a doubt.
You know, Gnostic text.
Yeah,
real quick, the Encyclopedia of Islam under Aisha. You know, just talking about his morality.
Is
this guy going to get to heaven?
We are
going to
compare him with Jesus.
With Muhammad. Muhammad, this is the Encyclopedia of Islam under Aisha. Muhammad said that he should marry either Aisha, the 6-year-old daughter of his chief follower. Now, the Encyclopedia goes on to say that he married her at 6 years old. Can you imagine? Aisha went to live in an apartment in Muhammad's house later in the Mosque of Midian. And it goes on to say she cannot have been more than 10 years old at the time she took her toys to her home. Now, most Muslim scholars will agree that he married her at six and he consummated or had sexual relations with her, at many of them will state, at the age of nine, prepubescent, pre-period, pre-menstruous cycle. Bukhari, who's one of the most authoritative Muslim leaders, writers, scholars,
Sahid,
volume 9, or volume 7, number 65, Aisha, the prophet, wrote the marriage contract with her when she was 6 years old, and he consummated his marriage when she was 9 years old. I'm sorry, folks. I just got to be honest because we love truth. We're talking about what the Muslims, scholars themselves say. That's pedophilia. That's contrary to the will and the word of God. And I just want to say a few things about the assurance of salvation that we have. He's basing it on his standard of righteousness. No wonder he, you know, this guy's got this six-year-old wife and he's having sex with her at nine. No wonder he wonders if he's going to, you know, step into heaven or not, the prophet of Islam. But also keep in mind, he had struggled early on knowing, feeling strongly, I should say, that his revelations were from demons. Remember that?
Yep.
So he believes he, from the very beginning, he's getting these revelations from Satan until his wife, not Aisha, prior to a caravan owner, quite older than him, said, no, this is Gabriel, the angel. And she talked him into going with the idea that it was Gabriel revealing that Jesus is not the Son of God and that he didn't die for our sins, which is contrary to what Gabriel revealed in Daniel 9, Luke 1 and 2 that we went through a few weeks ago. So the guy was obviously, and there's a time where he actually entered in three different gods you could worship in the Quran, which were called the satanic verses later. Yep. And he says, oh, Satan deceived me, when he was questioned by his own followers. How come you're saying to worship these three gods? It's because he wanted to, as Chad had mentioned earlier, there were times where he was trying to placate the pagans. And this was another time he was trying to placate certain pagans that worship three different gods. And he entered them into the Quranic teaching. And the Quran wasn't assimilated or, you know, put together yet as a book, but they saw what he was teaching and formulating. So, of course, this guy's not going to have assurance of salvation. He's feels led by demons at times, and we believe he was. But guess what we have in Scripture? What contrast that assurance with the Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident. That means you and us too. You, all of us brothers and sisters in Christ should be. I say, would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. To be absent from the body, he says, is to be present with the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verses 22 and 24 through 24, Paul says, I'm going to take 22 and verse 24. If I am not living in my body, this means fruitful labor for me. But he goes on to say, or if I'm going to go on living in my body, he goes on to say, I'm torn between these two aspects. He says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul is confident that he'll be with Christ when he dies, to be absent from the body, is present with the Lord. John 20, 31 says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Listen to this and how in contrast it with Islam. 1 John 5, 12 and 13. Whoever has a son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Jesus said to his followers, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Brothers and sisters, we want you to know Jesus. If you're a Christian, keep knowing him, keep following him, keep trusting him. If you're not a Christian, realize he died for your sins. He rose again. He conquered death. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling upon the name of Jesus. And you can have assurance this day, if you're trusting Jesus, that you're going to heaven.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California 93062, or call us toll free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.